The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And the Yankees have been eliminated from division contention.
Damn, I was still holding out hope.
Right? Still hold on. If we won the 25 in a row, we'd still be in this.
And the 98 team started 0-3.
Yeah.
I always hear about that.
There was always a chance. There was a literally a chance. Now, I mean, we didn't get shit on. There was like one guy, King of New Media, something like that is his Twitter handle. We've gone back and forth over the years, you know, nice guy, who was just like, of course you guys aren't just excited about the kids. What now? Huh? Where are the kids now? Huh? Huh? The kids are on a fucking fiery school bus going off a bridge. That's where the kids are now. Because they're all fucking injured.
Waiting to be admitted to the operating room. That's where the kids are.
Yeah. No, I mean, does anyone know how Jason Dominguez hurt his elbow?
No, that hasn't. I don't think that's been publicized.
What other organization does that happen in?
None. Like, there was a clip of him making like a shitty throw from center field that like triple bounced to home plate that I think a lot of the beat writers were tweeting out the video of. I don't know if it was that.
Was it that? Did he already have an injured elbow by the time we called him up? Like, how long has he been playing with an injured elbow? Can't put anything past us.
Does feel like we're almost cursed to a sense. Like, Dominguez, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think he ever really had an injury in the minors, anything we know about. And he's, you know, he's around these fucks on the major league team for a week. And it's just like it's contagious.
Yep. So I saw someone did a breakdown, I forget who, that said that Trevor's story, it took 210 days for him to come back playing shortstop and a little bit of DH. It took Bryce Harper like 160 days, something like that, coming back as just a DH. With those timelines, if he had the surgery like soon, which I don't understand why he's not, like, with the Aaron Rodgers stuff, I was like, what was the recovery time for Kobe Bryant? And I looked at the timeline. He got hurt that night. He had surgery in the morning. Like, he got MRI at the Staples Center, had surgery first thing in the morning.
Yeah, and people defend it like, oh, this is a big deal. They're people. Like, this takes time to decide. I understand that he's a human being, but this is the only option.
Yeah, there is no other option. And, like, are they really human beings? They're professional athletes.
I don't know. And this is a classic example of we always say, oh, why don't the beat writers ask follow-up questions? I saw one of the beat writers tweet, Aaron Boone says no surgery scheduled yet. My follow-up question would be, why and what are you waiting for? We found out this. So we're recording this. It's Tuesday afternoon. We found this out Sunday, which means the team probably knew Friday or Saturday. Still nothing scheduled. And again, every day that goes by without surgery is one more day that we don't have him in 2024. Very basic math.
Yeah. You know, so I saw like with the dates, with those timetables, it was like if he does it like soon, the Bryce Harper date like count would have him back in like late March. And then otherwise it ends up being like late April.
Well, it's going to be at least late April because at this point they're going to take the service time. Because remember, the service time doesn't count after September 1st. So they're going to do it's like around late April at a minimum. And they're not going to just bring him back as a DH. He's going to be a 21-year-old prospect. They're not going to rush him back. I would say, like gun to my head, assuming they do it soon, I'd say maybe around June 1st.
After he goes to probably double A.
To rehab?
I think he's going to – I think – he hasn't done enough professionally to just drop back into a major league roster. Forget even just rehab.
I think he has.
Well, you have a terrible opinion on pretty much everything baseball.
You're the one that does the podcast with me.
I know. I'm trying to make myself look stronger. No, I just think like he's played 1 week of major league baseball.
Yeah.
You don't go injured whole offseason, no spring training. And then just do like a 1 week rehab.
Maybe like two, three weeks. But like, dude, he's clearly the best option in center field on this roster. It's not even close. He had, what, four home runs in seven games?
I mean, so did fucking Harrison Bader. What's it like in Cincinnati? He's got spaghetti on his chili now.
I get that it's almost like being the tallest midget or whatever, but still, I mean, the kid was electric for 10 days. I think, barring no injury, I think it's safe to assume he would have been in center field on March 30th or whenever opening day was. So yeah, you want to give him that 2-3 weeks, but once he's healthy, I'm putting him out there. And again, they need to sell tickets. They need people there. I don't think this is going to be like a month in double A. I don't think that at all.
I don't know. I mean, I just, I could see it taking some time to get him back up because again, also let's say you're saying June 1st, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. What are we in fucking fourth place in June 1st?
Right.
We're talking service time. We're talking assholes like Brian Cashman.
And who else is going to be injured by then? Is Judge going to have a strained?
Yeah.
Is Judge going to have a strained hamstring?
Yeah,
right. Is Nestor going to have a sore shoulder? Right. So you go down the list, and that's the most frustrating part. It's like we couldn't even get out of this season, and we're already compromised for next year. Like, it's fucking demoralizing.
Like, I think we're at a point where, I mean, you kind of have to start talking about shutting guys down.
Yes.
Like, we're already on thin ice enough. Rodon should not throw another pitch.
No, and forget Rodon. Can you imagine if something happened to Cole or Judge that – pushed into next year? I mean, what a disaster that would be.
I'd almost like, I'd love to see someone just fucking tear an Achilles so at least we could see what happened. I feel like all of our injuries are just like in the shadows. Like we never know. Like even like Rizzo got a concussion in front of 50,000 people and they were like, nah, we're not gonna give you that satisfaction. We'll pretend for a while.
Yeah, all of Nestor's stuff.
He's only going to miss one start.
he missed the whole year. Yeah, Judge crashing into the wall with the toe was really the only one. Do you think – so like the Dominguez thing, I saw a lot of people – and people always try to do this. Well, look at the bright side, and I saw a lot of, well, the spin zone is now we'll sign Bellinger. You don't go and sign somebody to an 8-year contract because the other guy's going to miss a month or two. Like that is bad business.
Yeah, no. Signing – The Yankees should make no big free agent splashes this offseason. Like, I'm very – anything that's like an 8-year contract, do not do that.
I agree completely. The Bellinger – because you know what would happen with Bellinger? They'd sign him to an 8-year deal. He would have a rough adjustment first year. He'd probably be good in year two or year three.
Would he have a rough adjustment? Because my understanding is that he was in the family room a lot.
All right.
Paul O'Neill played. Sorry. Pretty much the same.
And in fucking 2027 or whatever, he'll be broken down and we'll be like, oh, we have 5 more years on this Bellinger deal. That's what happens with every single big contract that we give out, not named Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I think we are. I don't think Brian Cashman should have the power to give another big contract out.
Like, no,
you've got Cole, you've got Rodon, you've got Stanton, you've got Judge. You've got four huge contracts. And then, like, you've got, it's like a medium large contract of DJ. Like, it's not quite a huge contract, but like, it's not a small contract.
It's a schmedium.
So, like, yeah, you've got those five contracts. And with all that money, what do you need? You just need another $30 million a year for 8 years?
Yeah, something like that. It's going to be, it's kind of going to be a disaster from that front. I do. So the one thing, the free agent class sucks. Like, that's another thing. But if they want to trade for Soto, I would endorse that. Like, he's the only guy. Otani's not happening, right? We can forget about that. I think the next best free agent is like Matt Chapman, but I would okay a trade for Soto.
Yeah, I'd be fine with a trade for Soto, but like, you're not going to trade for Soto and get an extension on him before the season ends.
Probably not. But even having him for a year with that lefty bat in Yankee Stadium, maybe he falls in love and stays. Whatever. I don't want Brian Cashman really doing anything, but the bottom line is he is going to be here making the decisions. And I do think there's a chance. So you remember after 2013, I think it was 2013 when they went out and they signed like Ellsbury, and I think it was Brian McCann and maybe Beltran. And they weren't necessarily championship moves, but it felt like Hal was just spending to stop the pitchforks, like to stop the mob. That would almost be the worst case scenario, is like giving A money to B level free agents like that.
Yeah, going out and getting Ellsbury and Beltran and McCann and being like, we're gonna get Derek a championship on his way out. Like, that's what that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what that was. But I mean, this year it's really just, yeah, it's like Bellinger and Matt Chapman from a position player side. We've already ruled out Otani, and then pitching wise, it's like Blake Snell and Nola. I did see a lot of buzz about Yamamoto, this Japanese ace. Cashman was in the front row. He threw his no-hitter.
And
apparently
where?
A stud.
Where was this? Where is
he
this
was at? In Japan. Cashman was in Japan. There's a picture of him like Brian giving Cashman's Japan. Yeah, giving Yamamoto. Just Google Cashman Yamamoto, Google Images. And he's like in the front row giving him a standing ovation. Apparently we love this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, Cashman's in Japan.
Which would be cool. And he's got like, I think he has a 1.6 in Japan. And I want to say when we signed Tanaka,
1.86 in over seven seasons. Like, that's a career number. Yeah.
Oh, so this year, I'm probably right. Probably like a 1.5 or 1.6. I know when we signed Tanaka, he had a 1.5 for the Golden Eagles. So, okay. I mean, that'd be cool, but it's like, we need bats, man.
I mean, just must be nice to just be in the position to not have to worry about the playoff push and just take a trip to Japan.
And that was actually on the 98. I think that was the day of the 1998 reunion or Old Timers Day. It was this past weekend.
Yeah, it was.
Cashman wasn't there.
Good. Anybody didn't want David Wells to beat him up. Actually, no, David Wells was. Did you see David Wells was kind of being a prick? He was blaming the players. He was like, it's just the players. They got to send him the AAA, AA like they did in my day. And he also had a piece of tape over the Nike logo.
I saw that.
Shut the fuck up, you cock. And I loved it. Well, I have an autographed David Wells perfect game picture on my wall because he was my favorite pitcher before he went to the COVID.
Toronto?
No, the COVID like sponsorship on the White House lawn.
Okay.
and you know, that infestation. But like, you're a guest in someone's house. They give you the thing to wear, you fucking wear it.
Yeah, and he was also like defending Cashman, but blaming the players. Like, it really made no sense. It's like Cashman brought in the players.
It's not Cashman, it's the players. The players just aren't playing. Well, like, maybe the guy picked bad players.
That was weird. And they didn't even play a game. I think, what was it, a 3-hour rain delay? Can you imagine buying those Old Timers Day tickets? Because the Yankees, you know, display that as a premium game, you know, where they upcharge it. You go, there's no Old Timers game, and then there's a 3-hour rain delay. It's just been a tough year for us fans, man. It really has.
Yeah, but also, you know what? That's what you get for going to watch a bunch of fucking – for buying tickets well in advance, hoping to see a bunch of guys in their 50s play some baseball. You kind of deserve that. It's like when people complained about Michael Sam at the draft kissing his boyfriend. That's what you get for watching the draft. It's like going to a graduation ceremony where you don't know anyone. That's all this was. You went to a retirement home graduation ceremony, and your grandpa wasn't there.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
I know that's your line about the draft. So you don't think the Dominguez injury changes anything for the offseason? The one thing I think they re-sign Bader for a year, or they bring Bader back for 1 year to play center field. Because I don't know what else you do.
I don't know that. I mean, it takes two to tango.
I heard Cashman say that a bunch of times.
Like, I think the assumption, like, oh, we put the guy on waivers and he found out on ESPN. He said all the right things on his way out the door. He left the door open to come back. But if we offer him 1 year and someone offers him 3 years, which will be out there, he's going to take the 3 years. Because also, like, yes, you're a New York guy, you want to come back, you want to play for the Yankees. He's gotten the chance to play for the Yankees and not win the World Series. You want to do that again next year? Because that's the special we're running. 1 year, no World Series. All the frustration you can eat.
Well, him and Boone both made that comment about, oh, maybe it's not my last time wearing the uniform. It reminds me like when they traded Chapman at the deadline. And I feel like they had a conversation and then they re-signed him. Like, I feel like they had some sort of conversation about that. They had to have, or they wouldn't have both said it. Right?
Well, I think Aaron Boone says that stuff because he's a fucking idiot who lives on false hope. And I think Harrison Bader said that because he's from Bronxville. And that's what you say. And you want those fans. Like, if you're going to leave New York and you have to come back to New York, like, he's going to eventually retire and live in New York. You're like, his family's all still there. Like, he's going to be in that area. So you don't want to leave on the like, yeah, they didn't fucking tell me. I saw, you know, he said like, hey, I found out on the ticker. But you don't want to leave. You know, he wants to be able to like go to a deli and get a sandwich. It's not going to get spit in 10 years. So you say the nice things. But like, I think Harrison Bader has done enough to warrant some multi-year opportunities around baseball now. So I don't think like, hey, just like, hey, come in for 1 year. We're also like, we're clearly waiting for this kid to come back who took your job 1 year. And like, once he's healthy, we're going to try to trade you again and maybe end up in Cincinnati again.
He'd probably like, ask for no trade clause.
But yeah, no. Like there's not much upside.
Not for him, but they are going to need a body in center field.
Yeah, they're going to need a body. I don't think that's the body that's going to make itself available.
Maybe not, but you can't put Judge out there. That would be asinine, especially because he'll be 32. I don't know, Pereira.
And it's possibly a waste season.
Yeah, no, next year could definitely be one of those, I don't know, they call them like transition years or hold years or freeze years, whatever they call it. There could be not a ton going on. I was thinking about this too. So obviously we're a Yankees podcast, but generally if you're a Yankee fan, you probably root for other New York teams. So on Sunday, in about 24 hours, found out that Dominguez had a torn UCL. The Giants lost 150-0 against Dallas.
Hell yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers ruptured his Achilles. This is in 24 hours. So I was thinking, was that like the worst 24-hour period in New York sports history as a whole? It might be, right?
I mean, was it all happening on 9/11 too?
Yeah.
Just, you know, to a certain extent, there is a, like, I don't know, if you have a 9/11 truther run the American flag out on 9/11, how is he not supposed to tear his Achilles?
I did see that quote, yeah, where he asked Deshaun Kizer about it and like the irony of him running out with the flag.
Wait, what?
So, yeah. So like Rodgers, apparently there's, I guess, one of the backup QBs for the Jets. Look about how bad the Yankees are. We're talking about football. But I guess when Rodgers was in Green Bay, they brought in this backup quarterback, Deshaun Kizer. And the first thing that Rodgers asked Kizer was, do you think 9/11 is real? And Kizer was like, yeah. And Rodgers was like, you should read up on that, bro, or something. And irony of Rodgers then doing the whole charade on Monday night.
Yeah, Rodgers is that fucking annoying friend who's just like, everything, you gotta question everything.
Yes, I hate
like,
that.
It's just like, yeah. That. Like, question, if you know, if everything's an emergency, nothing's an emergency. You know, here's a crazy idea for center field for next year. Esteban Florial hit .284 in AAA this year. He hit 28 home runs. He hit 28 bombs.
Really?
They've called him up, 79 RBIs, stole 25 bases, walked 66 times. Like, I'd like to see a little more. Like, he has a 945 OPS in AAA.
Yeah, you said that I had dumb opinions. This is a dumb opinion because the Yankees have shown through all of their actions that they don't believe in this guy one iota. Put him on waivers. They've never given him a chance. I actually agree with you.
He's under control. Realistic. He's not a free agent till 2029.
They've been out of contention for, 6 weeks, and he got called up today? They don't believe in this guy, man. They just don't.
I know they don't, but, like, if we're talking about just, like, patching together a team, like, I don't know what they don't see in him that – it, like, isn't in the stat where they see that, like, the stats aren't showing that we're all missing. But, like, if that's the case, then I don't, like, shoot him, throw him in the Hudson River.
No, I'm actually with you on this. Yeah.
Like, it could, I just think, in terms of, you don't want to get into a multi-year contract with like a huge contract, like a Bellinger. I don't think you want to sign Bader for like 3 years. If you get Bader for 3 years at like a good, like, rate, and then he eventually transitions to be a left fielder, and then your outfield is Bader, Dominguez, Judge, like, yeah, that's not terrible. But you can start off with like Florial as that outfielder if you ever book a surgery for this kid.
Yeah, that's really pissing me off. And again, it's the follow-up question. Why hasn't surgery been built? But it's almost the opposite. So, like, remember with Donaldson, they'd be like, we're seeing things behind the scenes that you're not seeing. I feel like it's the reverse, like you said, with Florial. Like, they're seeing bad stuff that we're not seeing. So what is that? And I actually – so his the most at-bats he's ever gotten in one season is 31. That was in 2022. So in 2020, he got 3 at-bats. 2021, he got 20 at-bats. And then last year, he got 31 at-bats. He's sitting on 0 right now. I think, obviously, he'll get a couple.
He hasn't had an at-bat yet.
Yeah, so it's like – I'd like to – clearly, for whatever reason, they're seeing something that we're not, and they're probably wrong because they're wrong about most things recently.
Yeah, I just think, like, there's – instead of going out and signing another bad contract to try to, like, bridge a gap, If you have, like, because eventually something you develop has to hit.
Yes.
Besides Judge.
Unless it doesn't.
Yeah. But if you're talking about, if you're like, all right, the kid's going to be back in June, if they feel that, then yeah, that's the move. That's what you do. You run Florial out there. You hope.
And he's a lefty. And that's why I don't understand it. If he was a righty, I could kind of, but like, we are starving for lefty bats, starving for them. And he is one.
And I think a combination of Perea, him, Judge, and then maybe you do go get like another outfielder. I'd be fine with Bader on like a two. I just don't think you can get Harrison Bader for 1 year.
I get that. I get that. Although his offensive numbers are very pedestrian. Like, this is a guy whose OBP is under 300. This is a guy that hits 240. He might have a shot.
I mean, he also is like plus defense. He's been stinking in Cincinnati. He's only hitting 167. But you know, he has plus defense, and depending on like how much he's asking for, because what did he make this year? Make it in $5.2 million this year. So, you know, if someone if the Yankees offer him, what do you offer him for a 1 year deal?
See, I thought he would have been a perfect qualifying offer guy. I think that it might have been a little high. I think the qualifying offer is around $17 million. But then if he rejects that, you get a first round pick. I thought he would have been a classic guy to offer the.
No, dude, you offer a kid from Bronxville $17 million for 1 year. He takes that 100% of the time.
And I could live with that. I would overpay a little bit for 1 year. But besides the point,
I think you'd be paying double if you're paying him $17 million.
What do you think? 10?
I think Harrison Bader, with the numbers he's put up, I think somebody can get him for like 3 years, $21 million.
Okay. And you think he'd rather take that than $13 million for 1 year with us, with a team that he loves and that he grew up with and all that?
To not win the World Series? And you know you're going to be uprooted. You know you might be traded. You have to go through. You're in a weak free agent class now. It's only going to get better. Like, this is where you get the 3 year deal to make sure that you're set up for a few years, because there's not a ton of competition out there.
This is the weakest class in a while. I mean, I feel like we've had every good shortstop hit free agency in the past 2 or 3 years, and there's none left. But speaking
of
shortstop,
this year, IKF is going to hit the market, and
I know you want him back. What do you want to offer him?
Florial's batting first, playing center field tonight.
Okay. That's trolling. That's classic. They always do this. We've been begging to see a guy. They don't, and then boom.
Oh my God. This lineup is, it'll make you want to puke.
Read it to me.
It is. It's fucking Florial playing center, Judge DHing, Glaber at second, Wells batting cleanup with his 0.95 batting average. IKF batting fifth, playing third base. Jake Bowers at first. Oswald Peraza playing shortstop, batting seventh. Oswaldo Cabrera playing right field. Need a lot of Oswalds out there. And then Perea is playing left field.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to watch this game.
Judge is batting 258. Glaber, 269. IKF 241. Bowers is 202, Cabrera is 207, and like that, we are it now. It's only lower than that. This is a bad fucking lineup.
I never need to see Cabrera hit again. Like, he is. I've seen him and Higgy. I never need to see them getting swings again. Oswaldo Cabrera, every single at bat is either a pop up or he beats the ball into the ground at second base and grounds out. Like, enough. The kid cannot hit.
You know, the craziest thing to me every time we play the Red Sox, Rob Refschneider still in the fucking league. Like, he is a cockroach, and like, they already signed him. He signed an extension, a 1 year extension, like in the middle of the season.
Really?
Like, the Red Sox were so worried about losing Rob Refschneider, that like, they signed him early for next year.
I remember being a senior in college, like 2013, 2014, and the Yankees were sucking and hearing, but like, Rob Refsnyder, we have this stud prospect that's going to, you know, take us to the promised land. And he turned into this quad A, you know, infield outfielder.
Dude, I mean, he's got 81 games this year, 57 last year, 51 the year before that. Yeah, like, he's been bouncing around playing. Crazy. Crazy he's still in the league. Every time I see him, I'm like, really? The same guy?
He's hanging around. It was cool to see Verdugo ground into the double play to end it. Even though Holmes, classic Clay Holmes in this first game here on Tuesday, has to load the bases. And again, I know I said this last week, definitely need to see a different closer next year. I know you said no huge moves, but like, you know, maybe go find a reliever that can just be our normal closer at, you know, 2 years, 20 million.
Yeah,
two
but
years,
like,
30 million.
Who's available?
I haven't looked at the list, but there's always bullpen arms out there. Always. That they're like always out there.
Yeah, but I mean, you're kind of like, you're putting a price tag that you'd be willing to pay for the position, and you don't even have like, who's the guy?
I have who's not the guy, and it's Clay Holmes.
Yeah, well,
that's
I know what I'm saying. I mean, we've got Liam Hendricks is going to be available. Well, there's a club option for $15 million
pass
that the White Sox have. Josh Hader, Will Smith, Kimbrel, Dave Robertson, Trevor May, Daniel Hudson, but he's got a club option. I mean, if you are going to look to make a like a splash, I think it is like you go after a Hader.
Yeah, the only issue with it with the Hader thing is like, I don't know, are we a contender? Are we not a contender? Like, generally, closer is the last piece you add, right? It's like the cherry on top, the finishing touch. If we're gonna be a 500 team, does it make sense to go out and splurge?
Well, you might as well just throw fucking Holmes out there. It'd be a 400 team.
He brings him out. I would say like Loaisiga. But he clearly cannot stay healthy for a full season.
He's injured.
Yeah, always.
Like, yeah, he's injured again. And it's tough, too. Like, with these are just guys who are marked as closers on sport spot track. They are all old, too. Like, Hader is, he'll be 30 soon. But all the rest of them are, like, 38, 34, 35. Mm-hmm. So, like, it makes it tough. Like, it is just, like, it is a bad free agent class.
Yeah, Will Smith is, 34. He's got a whip under 1.37. Definitely have no interest in Kimbrel. He just pisses me off, and I've always hated him. His demeanor, the way he looks, his windup, I just can't stand Kimbrel. I guess because he was a Red Sox.
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One no part. Yes. It's hard to like come up with a direction for this team because we have a mix of young kids that could be studs, and then we have a mix of stars that are under contract for a while, like Judge and Cole. We have some shitty players that are under contract for a lot of control. Like, it's hard to come up with a definitive direction.
Yeah, and you do have to, like, I don't know. One of the things that you have to think about when you talk about a guy like Dominguez and like him coming back and like, well, where is he playing? Whatever. His numbers are better than Stanton. Are you going to let Stanton's bad contract negatively impact your top prospect? I don't know.
I told you. I said in the beginning, I think he'd be the bet, my choice to come back to center field as soon as he's healthy. Giancarlo Stanton is completely washed. And I know we keep having the conversation with the Dodgers. Would the Dodgers take on money? He got a little bit better under Sean Casey, and I guess DJ did too. I wouldn't let Stanton stay in the way of anybody.
Yeah. So, it's a lot of tough conversations, a lot of, tough decisions that have to be made. I'm glad I'm not making them, but I also think that Brian Cashman shouldn't be making them either.
Not at all. It's just like with Cash, it's almost not worth talking about because you know he's going to be back. The only silver lining that you could maybe convince yourself to have a decent winner is, all right, you have Cole. If Rodon bounces back to his all-star form, if Nestor's healthy, if they sign this Yamamoto, there again, I know it's not likely, you're shaking your head, but there is at least a puncher's chance at a somewhat dominant rotation if everything broke perfectly.
If everybody plays better than they have played, they'll be better.
Yamamoto would be – that'd be a pretty big – that'd be a pretty big hit. That'd be a pretty big signing.
Would it be really big, or would we in mid-June find out he's got to skip a start because he's used to only starting once a week?
It's possible, but Tanaka adjusted well for the most
part. Did he? Did Tanaka adjust well?
Tanaka was productive for us. He was solid overall. Come on, man. I know things are bad. I know we're in a bad mood, but Tanaka was overall good.
Masahiro Tanaka, we spent his entire time with the Yankees thinking his arm was going to fall off, like on any given moment. And he had he came in, he had a 2.77 ERA, right? Then a 2.51, like at the end, he had a 2.56 in 2020, very short season. 2019, 4.45 ERA.
2019 was bad, but he was 3.7. All right, so 3.74 overall.
Yeah, and a lot of that is brought down by early in his career. Like once he got, and now, so it's always just a concern. Ohtani, if Ohtani just came here to pitch, he's a very good pitcher, right? But it's the combination of the two, or the bat is really what sets people off. Otherwise, he'd be a middle of the rotation guy because he's now on his second Tommy John surgery. So, we really haven't had a Japanese player make that jump and have a lengthy career as a pitcher.
Yu Darvish has been, I feel like he's been around a while and been pretty solid. But you're right about it is an adjustment going from I'm in Japan and I only pitch on Saturday.
And I'm also not playing the best players because no one is here being like, man, if I could just get to free agency, I can get to Japan.
Kodai Senga for the Mets has a 3.07, made the All-Star team. It can work.
How many years has he been here?
This is his first year.
Okay. So.
And we'll see, but there are some success stories. Yu Darvish is a success story. You wouldn't be excited if they signed Yamamoto. I think you would.
I would. I'm just saying, it doesn't. I'm so jaded on everything.
I know. I can tell, man. I can tell.
Because because we've got the kid comes up, he hits four home runs, and mystery injury out for the year.
I know. It was so deflated. It really felt like everything that could go wrong this season went wrong. Everything except Cole getting injured. When you think about what could result in disaster, all of those things happened except nothing happened to Cole. That's the only thing that went wrong.
Yeah, and he's probably still got three more chances to do that.
It is. And that the thing you brought up with the guy that was saying, why can't you be excited? So much shit has gone wrong that it just got to a point where it's impossible to be excited when you're whatever, 8 games out of the wild card on September 13th.
Yeah. There's I'm not excited for next year. I'm not excited for the year after that. I have never in September been excited for the next year. Just not the way I'm built.
I get that. There's some burnout. I think there's some burnout involved. We're tired. The weird thing for me is watching games and it's I miss Yankee Stadium and I'm not going to get to go. I can't go till March, but then it's I don't I'm not going to make the effort to go. They're so bad. Like, that's what's depressing for me. It's like, I could go. We have the means and the location that we could go, but it's like, they're so bad that it's
tough. I was thinking about it today. Cause I saw my like Bronx Pinstripes NYC hat that Scott gave me at the ALCS last year. And I was thinking, like, I went to that game with Chris Long. We got destroyed. But going into that game was like the last time I was like excited going into a Yankee game, because I didn't go to opening day this year. By the time I got to a game, like, things were bad.
Yeah. Wow. That's God. That is depressing. I remember that drive home. I think your wife, Emily, DD'd, right? And it was me, you. And that was a depressing. God, I think we left early. We left a playoff game early, which I've never done.
Yeah. Because it was just like, we might as well get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, no, that was tough. Yeah, I mean, you did. I think you went 2-0 this year for your two games. So you got that.
I did. Yeah, and can you believe I've only been to two games this year? It's insane.
It is. They didn't really give you an option. The other, you know, when you hear like, oh, the players are just kind of mailing it in and just kind of like cashing checks until the season ends, like when they get eliminated or making business decisions. That's almost like, I'm like, man, we got four more of these podcasts to do. It's like, what are we gonna, like, this team is giving us nothing to talk about.
Yeah, no, I was actually thinking that earlier today. It's unfortunate, and we appreciate everyone listening, but there was a bit of like, how many more fucking times do I have to do this? And like, I've got it at, we got to do it next Monday. We've got the 25th, and we'll wrap up the season on the 2nd. So we've only got three more of these.
Three more. We should do something. We should do something a little different for the last one. We can like text about that. We
kill ourselves. We should do a fucking podcast suicide.
Who do you think they should shut down? Like, I think Clark Schmidt would be an obvious one.
Yeah, he's thrown like more innings than he ever has. You know, it kind of is like, I know he wouldn't let you do it, but like, I'd like to shut Cole down after one more start. Be like, yeah, this is, I got the fucking award.
Hunt, can you, I don't even want to say it, but could you imagine if like the unthinkable happened on September 24th? It's like Cole exits with shoulder tightness. It's like, can you imagine?
Like, we joke around, you may legitimately hurt yourself if that happened. You would at least experiment with cutting.
You wouldn't want to see my Google searches at that point.
Yeah.
No, that would be bad. It is it is depressing where it's like, and I think I tweeted this, like, this year, ruining this year wasn't enough. Like, we're already compromised for that. It reminds me of when they lost in the ALDS to the Red Sox. And it was like this heartbreaking playoff exit. We got stomped by a rival. And 2 days later, they're like, oh, and Didi needs Tommy John. And it's just like, oh, when you get kicked in the balls and then kneed in the face. Like, that's how this felt.
Yeah. No, that's exactly how it felt. What we need is Luis Castillo, to have like a really bad start. Like, two starts ago, he gave up five runs in five innings to the Mets. And like, we need that again. We need something like that to really widen the gap between Cole and then like shut Cole down after like one more start.
Yeah. I'm checking the odds. I saw the last time I checked, his odds were
Cole's like roof. Minus 250.
Dude, he's minus 1700.
Where?
FanDuel, and Luis Castillo's plus 10,000. I think this is over, man.
I didn't realize. I'm looking at odds as of September 5th. So yeah, so that's changed since then.
This is over. Yeah, if you bet, if you risk $1,700 for Cole to win, you'll win $100. So don't make that bet.
Thinking about it. Again, if I bet on it, he'd get in a car accident, and Castillo would throw three no hitters the rest of the season.
Our boy Sonny Gray has the third best odds, plus 5,000.
Hell yeah.
Oh, this is tough. Well, we got a couple more against the Red Sox. You're not going to Pittsburgh, unfortunately. That was fun for like two or three days.
Yeah, there was like a serious, like, all right, I gotta look at getting to Pittsburgh. Like, to a certain extent, like, I told him, because my wife listens to the podcast, but I was just like, they'd rattled off like three in a row. And I was like, damn, I might have to go to Pittsburgh. And I was like, for work? She's like, no, didn't you listen to the podcast? She was like, yeah, but like, I tune out by the end. And I was just like, yeah, no, like I said, if they win all the games, I'll go to Pittsburgh on the 15th. She was like, all right, have fun with that.
I turned on like WFAN after like they had won three or four in a row just to like see what the check the temperature of what people were saying. There were a decent amount of people that had gotten sucked back in after winning three in a row against the Tigers for a very fleeting.
Yeah, that was, I think, you know, I put it in all of our heads that like maybe they'll win 25 games in a row. I don't know.
This is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're done here for this episode.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what the fuck are we doing? Sorry, we're a day late on the podcast. I coach 4 and under soccer now on Monday.
Hey, are you utilizing load management at all? Are you taking a page out of the?
Yeah, I just every chance I get, I just tell any other adult involved, I'm just like, yes, yeah, so we're going to focus on headers a lot just to like get them like fucking freaked out a little bit. I'm only an assistant coach.
Okay. Are you gunning for that? Are you gunning for that top spot? Is there, you looking to work your way up?
No, not at all. I'm looking to, bolster my resume for a possible political run next year.
Okay.
So, right. Like, yep, did soccer. I am going to do T-ball. Like, I'm going to coach T-ball. I know what to do there. Soccer, I just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Nor care. But, and it's, like, it's four-year-olds. So they're not going to be good. And I don't care about them getting better. Whereas, like, in T-ball, they're not going to be good. But I'd like to see them get better. I'm not looking for people to be better at soccer.
No, yeah. Soccer's barely even a sport. So is T-ball this spring for Joey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, okay. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got to figure out like when registration is. But, yeah, I'll probably sign up and try to do that. Because, like, I already have now. I did, like, the background check and, like, the coaching certification and, like, the concussion certification. Like, I've done all the paperwork I had to do to be like
– Really?
Yeah.
You all know, that?
Yeah, you don't just get – it's not like when we were kids where you're just like, I don't know. I'm a dad who gets out of work at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
I'm going to – like that's – I remember that's what it was. It was just like, who can get out of work early? Great. Now you're the coach. Right. Yeah. If you need to smoke a cigarette, just do it behind the shed where we keep the brown bag, like that burlap sack that just
got
the baseball equipment in it. Like it was a very different time. Like I was looking to sign her up for soccer – and I was trying to go to the coach. Like I was going to volunteer to coach before they like solicited looking for coaches. And I went to like, the, you know, the drop down coaches and it's all talking about travel because like travel soccer is big. And I thought I was just filling out the right questionnaire. It was like, what is your semi-pro experience level? And it was like, what? I'm talking about 4-year-olds. And I realized I was in the wrong place. So I think it does get like more competitive because there's just money to be made. Like the soccer organization here, like pays some other place to send like college and high school kids to come and like run the practices, like to actually teach the kids. Yeah.
I feel like youth sports is probably just out of control at this
but
point.
But it's still like at this level, it's $100. It's still $100,
which is good.
Like,
good.
Give me my 7-8 games for $100, a t-shirt, a pair of socks.
The trophy at the end.
I maybe. Who knows? I mean, everyone gets a trophy nowadays, right?
No, it's funny you've said the concussion thing. Like, I don't think half of my little league coaches even like went to graduated high school.
I don't think concussions existed then.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're talking about a time when it was like, oh, is something wrong? Drink Gatorade. It's got electrolytes.
Right.
And it was just like, no one knew that that's just salt. It was just like, yeah, no, that's it's got electrolytes in it. So be careful you don't turn into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. It could be the same thing. Could be the ooze. So, yeah, so there's not going to be a parade. Unless maybe we win every game the rest of the season and then we sneak in a wild card spot. Oh, this team sucks. This team sucks. I would have gone to Pittsburgh.
You would have. I believe you.
I would have done it. I was already thinking of like people who I could try to get to come with me.
You wouldn't have said it if you wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I was thinking, I was like, yeah, all right. Like, you know, it'll kind of be a day of decision because like they got to win every game leading up to it. So they'd have to win on Thursday.
Oh, right.
Can Nick like get a day off? Then I was thinking about like Dave. I was like, he's a teacher though, so now he's back at work. Like, who could I get to like sit in the car with me? I'd probably just listen to fucking wrestling podcasts and drive 7 hours by myself.
That's an image.
It'd be fucking sick, dude. Just old episodes of Bruce Pritchard. Yeah, so you can follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. You can follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Who knows what the fuck we're posting anymore? Yeah. This team sucks. No parades.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.